Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5 and the River Talk Radio Network, a River Network production.
Live exclusive in-studio interview here with State Rep Ron Ferguson. He's going to be responding to former State Senator Frank Hoagland's attacks yesterday. And we'll be talking with him a lot more about how he sees the government in Ohio and what's happening with that. Also, you can see the show Facebook live stream, and you can see that on my profile page on Facebook, Dimitri with three eyes. You can also see a Big Willie 105.5 Facebook page. Download the River Network app and then click Big Willie 105.5 to get Dimitri live and dangerously local Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And then Thursdays and Fridays, Dimitri Encore and Dangerously Local. You hear that from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Also on the River Talk Radio Network, 94.9 FM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, the Sturdy 1430. It is the audio path of totality. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Ron Ferguson, next question here. Tell me about your family. Tell me about Emma. Tell me about the kids.
Yeah, so Emma...
Stay closer to the mic.
Yeah, okay. Closer to the mic here. Yeah. Emma is a teacher. You know, more importantly, she's an incredible mother, and she's also, you know, my biggest supporter.
So, How'd you meet?
Everything.
How'd you meet?
Actually, it was the height of COVID, and the first event of, like, live event, sporting event that was going on during COVID was a UFC fight. And so, like, everybody's cooped up. Everybody wants to get out of the house.
UFC fight here in the Valley?
No, I think it was like in Dubai or something. I can't remember where it was exactly. But it was the first live sporting event. It was in May of 2020. And so I had, you know, I probably hadn't had a haircut in 3 months because, of course, you can't go get your haircut at that time.
Right.
And anyway, my brother had some people over to watch it. And I invited a friend, and he brought his girlfriend and his girlfriend brought her sister, and her sister's now my wife. So
really,
that's how it happened.
Wow. How did you hit it off? Was it right? Was the chemistry instant right from the beginning? What was it like? Did you try to pick her up? What did you do? What was your pickup line?
Well, actually, I just talked to her. I was certainly very interested, but then I sent her a Facebook message afterwards, and I said, you know, we should hang out sometime. You can see on Facebook when somebody sees your message.
Yeah.
And she didn't respond. So I was like, oh, obviously she's not interested. But she actually ends up responding, you know, I don't know, a few days or a week later or whatever it is.
Playing hard to get.
It was.
Playing hard to, Emma, we're on to you.
It was just like, I'm sorry I missed this. I'm not like good with Facebook Messenger. And
do you believe her?
She gave her number, so that was good.
Oh, well, that's good. Okay, how long did you date before you got married?
So we started dating in May of 2020, and we got married in June of 2022. So like,
that's great. That's great. And the two kids, how are they doing?
Doing fantastic, so... Ava's a very good softball player. My wife and I coach her in softball, and so that's a lot of fun to do. And Eloise is going to be 3 in February, so we're getting excited about her having.
That's great. That is great.
Great. For those that are
yes,
I got the. I think it might be a little too bright
Wait
to
a
see
minute,
it on there.
Well, let's give it a try. Put it on Facebook.
Let's try it again. I'll try.
There's an extra person there. Who's that?
That's my mom.
Oh, your mom is good looking. Jeez.
And so,
that's great. I shouldn't say surprised.
Yeah.
My God, he's got a good looking mom, you know?
Yeah.
That's great. Good, good, good. So why on earth? You got all this stuff going for you. You're handsome. You're a great athlete, a broadcaster, this, that, or the other. Why the hell do you want to be involved in politics? I have to put up with people like me.
Yeah. Well, you know, my dad, something that he instilled at me from a very young age that I always heard is, when you were faced with a problem or faced with adversity, he always said the phrase, if it's going to be, it's up to me. And I've taken that pretty seriously. A lot of my friends that I went to school with, they had to move out of the area because of the job losses. And of course, we don't have the steel mills and the coal mines like we used to.
Yeah.
There just wasn't really the opportunities to stay here. And I don't want that for my girls. I mean, if you want to move somewhere else, that's great. But I want to make sure there's opportunity right here where we're from for you to stay here, raise a family. And if that's going to happen, you know, I need to step up and I need to do something about it.
When you first ran for office, were you running against an incumbent or was it an open seat?
It was an open seat.
Okay. Did you get the support of the Republican Party?
Well, I was unchallenged in the primary.
Oh, really?
And of course, yeah, they did support me in the general election.
Okay, great. Are they supporting you now?
Yeah, we have. I mean, I have the formal support of the Monroe County Republican Party.
Yeah.
And then currently, there's not formal support from the Belmont or Jefferson County Republican parties, but I'm going to be working on that. I think when February 4th comes around, the filing deadline happens, and we can see if there's any other candidates in the race, it'll be a good time to pursue that.
I can't imagine anybody else would run. You got two big names. They got you and Hoagland, and I can't even imagine somebody else wanting to run. They'd be like suicidal. But hey, whatever. I mean, you never know. What's been the toughest thing about being a state rep?
The toughest thing's probably, the things that keep you up at night. It was especially like that during COVID when I first got into office, and I see people losing their jobs. I see kids' education kind of getting destroyed, and you see people that they're going to lose jobs if they don't get forcibly vaccinated. I mean, it just really keeps you up because you feel this calling to do something for somebody else.
What'd you do?
It was actually, June of 2021. My first 6 months in office, it was actually my HCR 21.
HCR, what is that in English?
Yeah, so that's House Concurrent Resolution 21 that actually repealed all of the health orders that were on the books.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I went in. It was a great story.
Well, so let's hear it.
I'm preparing to testify on this resolution to repeal all of these orders, all of these crazy doctor lockdown, AIMEE Acton orders. And I'm sitting in the committee room, and it comes my turn to testify, and the chairman, he calls a recess, and he says, "Hey, Ron, can I talk to you?" He takes me out in the hallway. And I was like, "Yeah, chairman, how can I help you?" He said, "I've got the governor, his office, reaching out to me saying they really don't want you to testify on this."
DeWine's office?
Yeah,
didn't want me to
give that testimony to open up the state, to end the state of emergency. And he said, "I'll move forward with it if you want to. I'm going to defer to you, but I thought I should let you know, like, this is what's being said." And I said, "Absolutely, I'm going to speak." I said, "It's been too long. I mean, we're talking over a year here."
DeWine wanted to shut you up? Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, they wanted to go on their timeline. I think they didn't really want to get shown up by the legislature. And so I push forward, and actually, as I'm sitting there ready to testify, alerts come across on my phone. I mean, you can go look at what day that DeWine announced. It was the same day June of 2021 that he announces the state of emergency is over. So he tries to beat me by a few seconds.
Congratulations. Congratulations. We have you to thank for that. That is great. Now, help me understand. DeWine is a Republican. AIMEE Acton is an Obama-loving liberal Democrat. Mm-hmm. And she got a lot of support from Republican establishment. I mean, that's how she got confirmed here. So the Republican establishment in Ohio, to me, is horrible. Mm-hmm. How have they been able to get away with never disclosing the procedures and all the ways that they came about with these different, coming up with these different rules and regulations? We're going to close churches. We'll keep strip clubs open. We're going to close mom-and-pop grocery stores, but keep liquor stores open. How are they able to this day, hide that information about how they came about with these rules and regulations?
How can they hide it?
But they're still hiding it.
Yeah. It's, that's the level of bureaucracy that we have in the state of Ohio, that they try to shield it. One of the things that I'd like to work on in my last term is actually FOIA, or people, the Freedom of Information Act, some people have heard of.
Well, Ohio Sunshine Law.
Yes. So every state has this. You can request any public record. However, if you look at the wording, a lot of these wordings will say they need to give it to you in a timely manner. What's timely?
Exactly.
I'll tell you what I think timely is, about 48 hours.
Right.
They could use months. And then if you take it to court, how do you argue what timely is?
Yeah.
And they argue that they're getting it to you timely. So that's what they do. They hide behind a lot of these random numbers and
It's really a very, very upsetting to me. I must tell you. And I don't know of too many Republicans in Ohio who stood up to Amy Acton or stood up to DeWine. There's you. Anyone else that you know of?
There was a handful of other people. I mean, on that resolution, I said I had a joint sponsor. His name's Scott Wiggum. Actually, even though we had to take the lead, there were 55 Republicans that signed on to that. Sometimes you just have to be the driving force or the leader to get people going. And so that's really what I planned to do during that time. At that same time, I actually put into the state budget an amendment that would prevent people from being forcibly vaccinated, that your employment could be conditioned on receiving the vaccine. Well, unfortunately, when it got to the Senate, so the House passed that. When it went to the Senate watered it down and they said, well, we're not going to do it to students that are going to school, but they took away the business part. They took away the fact that people could
So people lost their jobs if they said no to the vaccine in Ohio?
There are people who lost their jobs, absolutely, yes.
How does Amy Acton live with herself? How does she do this? I'm actually, it's not a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
I've never understood how she, and DeWine, because DeWine, you know, that's his gal.
Yeah.
How do these people live with themselves and what they did to so many of us? My mother-in-law, Helen Mahalik, was at Beacon House, and my wife and sister-in-law, Katzilla, who's crazy, by the way, with animals and cats and all that, and others, we had to set up lawn chairs on the grass, screaming up to the third, or I think it's the second floor, of the Beacon House to say hello to Helen, because we couldn't go in there because this COVID crap. To the day I die, I will never forgive these people. I will never forgive these people.
We did pass a bill that now requires that you have to have at least one family member and a faith leader that can go see you, because the fact that people were cut off from the world.
What they did to my mother-in-law,
miserable.
These people should rot in hell, I swear to God. And no one is going to be thrown in jail. No one's being charged even on the federal level. Why? How are they all getting away with this? How do they get away with this?
Yeah, you know, at the federal level, we need to see what the problem there is at the federal level. But at the state level, again, you know, you got Amy Acton. She's the front runner for Democrat right now, governor.
Is DeWine supporting her?
It baffles me. Actually, no, he endorsed Vivek.
Oh.
So he's actually endorsed Vivek. But it just, you know, you can't even believe that she has the audacity to be running right now.
Damn.
After what she did to
our
state.
Well, the media won't even ask her any questions. Whenever I see any stories, but never any questions from media about how do you live with yourself? How did you do this? I mean, no questions about it. It just astonishes me. It really does. If she came in here, it'd be 2 hours of grilling her regarding everything that she ever did. I mean, that's why I'm sure she'll never come in. But boy, oh boy, it was really bad. Well, let's shift gears here. We got a break coming up, but let's segue into politics. What in God's name do you see in Vivek Ramaswamy?
Well,
I mean, seriously, what do you see in this guy?
Yeah, so I have talked to him quite a bit, and I really see the opportunity to push against the grain. I mean, I've obviously, you know, Governor DeWine's been there my whole time. We run into a lot of headwinds from the executive. Vivek is looking to actually reduce the size of government.
Do you trust him?
I do.
He doesn't impress you as a snake oil salesman based on what we're learning about this guy almost every day now?
No, I mean, I've sat down and have had conversations, just he and I, and I believe that he's
the pump and dump stuff. You've looked into that, the pump and dump stuff with his stocks and all that, and the thing with his mom overseeing some test results regarding another thing. None of that stuff bothers you, or you haven't looked into it?
Hey, you know, I'm not running for governor
It wasn't the question I asked you.
But I haven't listened to all that. I mean, I encourage you to send it to me, but I'm confident. I'm confident that Vivek's going to be a good governor. I wouldn't be supporting him otherwise.
Yeah.
And with
He's losing a lot of support, though. He's losing a lot of support. Have you seen some of the polling, which I still can't believe, that Amy Acton actually had a slight lead over Ramaswamy? Did you see those polls?
I don't believe this. False.
Okay. Well, I find it hard to believe as well. I really do. But, well, we can talk more about him in a bit. Now, we got a short break here, and then I want to talk with you about, get into the meat of it. Frank Hoagland made several very serious accusations, including you being a no-show for a number of votes. I think it was 179,000 or something. It was like some big number. I don't know what. So we'll talk about that, get your side of it, and have you respond to him as well. And then we're going to set up a big debate with you and him a whole 2 hours here on my show. Stay tuned. More coming.